It's possible, as Dion said, that we haven't covered all of the minor prophets. Some of them were a little repetitive, but maybe it's because we didn't get the message in the first place. Maybe we need messages to be repeated. Friends, on your sheets, if you got a handout as you came in the door, you would see that on the front there's an old hymn. We're going to sing that hymn at the end, because not only is it an old hymn, but it's a powerful hymn and it's a true hymn. God has spoken, then God has spoken in Christ Jesus, and we've just heard that as Ted read to us. Pardon me, and God still speaks by his Spirit. In the minor prophets, what we have found is that God's communication was often agricultural. And that was because the people were agrarian at that level. But in God's communication with us, he often uses our senses, sight and touch, sound, taste, smell. I'm interested that a lot of people are actually visual learners, so what they see, people often see in creation or in pieces of art, the creative power of God. Our experiences, we see God in a variety of our experiences through our emotions and in our individual or corporate situations. So God is not restricted by the way he communicates to us. Question, of course, is how does God communicate to us today? How does God send his message? It's interesting to have that little telephone, and I'm sure many of you have made those, not necessarily out of cups, but sometimes out of old tins, and made it with a piece of string and communicated through. Interesting, hey, is God speaking through one of those to us, but as Dion showed, if there's an interruption, it doesn't work. So is God speaking into one of those to us, but in fact, there's something with our hearing on the other end? We need to check that from time to time. And what is it that actually prevents us from hearing? It's interesting to check. Now, it's not new. When we started the series, we said there were themes that came up. There was repentance and a call back to the covenant. This is a classic example of the covenant. This is the covenant, the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. And we say that when we meet. So, prophets calling back to the covenant, God today calls us back to the covenant, the relationship that we have with Jesus, that hasn't changed. The day of the Lord, are we ready for when Jesus is going to come again? How wonderful, and God's love. Ted read to us from Hebrews chapter 1, which said, long ago, depending on your translation, God spoke in many different ways to our fathers through the prophets, visions, dreams, face to face, telling them little by little about his plans. But in the last days, he has spoken to us through a son. Friends, the book of Hebrews, written to Jewish people or people with a Jewish background. So all of a sudden, God is saying, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of these prophecies. And if you read that again this afternoon or sometimes during the week, you'll see that he's saying he's greater than the priests. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than anyone you have ever followed or known. This is Jesus. And in a way, we should be jumping up and down and saying, this is our God. This is our God. Have a look. This is the one we worship and adore. Friends, after church last week, Someone said to me, what might God be saying to us? What might God be saying to us at Lighthouse? So that's always the question. What is God saying to me individually? What is God saying to each one of you individually? But is God saying something to us corporately? Which is an important question for us to be asking or answering. What is God likely to be saying to us? How is God speaking? Or have we got the two cups and we've got something blocking the situation? What is happening? Now, I just want to bounce back through some of the prophets. And in the middle of your leaflet today, and I'm not going extensively, but you can go back and just check. And I've tried to put something that captures what that prophet has said about the character of God, something that maybe is a challenge to us, and then something that should be or could be part of our response. So in Micah, we learned yet again, that God is a one who pardons and forgives. But he challenges our indulgence. He challenges our indulgence. So I'm going to ask the question, and you didn't expect coming on Sunday morning after losing an hour's sleep, that I would ask a question. But the question I'm going to ask is, what do you think is the indulgence of the Western Church that God might say to us, this is an indulgence, Church, that you should be aware of? Is there anything that you think we in the West indulge in that maybe would be not quite right with God? Geraldine? Complacency? Right? An indulgence in... We're right. And that's fine. Yep. Complacency. Maybe we are too complacent. If we've got this Jesus that we've just read about in Hebrews to share with people, are we too complacent about things? Anything else that's an indulgence that may be... yes, Alice? Right. Big flashy lights and productions. Are you saying church as a production rather than as a sincere commitment to God? Right, Jess? We need to be careful that we don't indulge in the things of the world to attract. Jesus is the attraction. And the other thing that I often come back to is the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. I guess he had all of those flashy things, Alice. And Jesus looked at him with a look of love and he walked away from what Jesus offered. And Jesus didn't run after him. He'd made up his mind and he walked away. So we need to be careful. Someone else put up their hand. Yes, Van. The Western world, the obsession with wealth. Yes, yes. What we can get, obtain. So, friends, it's good for us to just check. This is the God who pardons and forgives, but this is the God who challenges indulgence, and we need to be careful. Sometimes when we're in at the market and I look around and I think all of this stuff is here to be bought and most of it to be eaten, and not only that, but we can afford it. Then I can switch on the news at night and say, look at these people, house bombed, nothing to eat, kids screaming, dying because... no basic medication. So, friends, we need to be careful and we need to bring things into balance. Then we saw Joel, and we found the character of God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Aren't we glad that God is slow to anger and abounding in love? That he doesn't get angry straight off. And there, of course, we learnt of the locusts coming. We were reminded of the locust plagues of Oruru and the loss of livelihood and the challenge to return to our God and to trust in him. In Nahum, we saw that the Lord is good, a refuge in time of trouble, and a carer of those who love or trust him. Friends, we saw there the locusts, we saw Nineveh, and the challenge here was, is there a concern for other countries? We're basically quite safe here in Australia. But how does this work out in this situation? Because Jonah goes with him, and we could think of Nineveh in Australia and Nineveh with Jonah. And what did Jonah say? Well, basically, I don't care about those people. I'm caring about my safety and my security, God, and I don't want to go there because they're rough, they're dreadful, and they'll mistreat me. This was the challenge. Is there anyone beyond God's redemptive power? And maybe our whole thinking needs to change here, because it's people outside of the kingdom that we are striving to bring into the kingdom. So we sang, trust and obey. We've probably sang that 1,000 times, some of you. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Did we mean it when we sang it? What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Why sing it if we didn't mean it? We need to be careful about what we sing and whether we mean what we sing. But here we have two characters, Nahum and Jonah. Jonah stood up on the deck and said, oh, throw me over. No, God says, I am not interested in chucking you into the water. I'm interested in you doing what I asked you to do. So friends, can we just think this week, as we reflect on the minor prophets, let's just do what God asks us to do, what he says we will do. So when God says, please do this, Jonah, go to this people, let's not put on a demonstration. The beautiful thing here about Jonah, or one of the beautiful things, is that Jonah finds himself in the middle of a fish, spewed up on the sand, and what's the amazing thing? Here he is, exactly where he started from before. And isn't this true, friends, from the prophet Jonah, that sometimes God says, do this or obey this, and we put our hands on our hips and we go through a whole lot of pain and anguish and upset, and suddenly God spews us up and says, well, here you are, you're back where you started from, so let's start out again, and I haven't changed my mind. But isn't it lovely that God says, I'm not going to let you be gobbled up by the fish and devoured. I'm going to let you be spewed up or coughed up or whatever, and I'm going to give you a second opportunity. So if you're here this morning thinking, I've messed up with God, take heart from Jonah. There's a second chance, and even a third and a fourth, for that's how God works. Moving on, If we move on to Obadiah, and we saw there that he is the sovereign Lord because there was a bit of a change in the arrangement of who's born first and how things happen. And so it's not only being born in sense a son of Abraham, but allowing for God's intervention as well. But linked with that was the family upset. And the challenge, friends, is that we as Christians break the cycle and become peacemakers. That we break the family upset if there's an upset in the family and the cycle. This morning, I'm just going to ask, if there's something, and I'm not going to, I don't want you to share at all, but if there's something in your family that you would like rectified, maybe someone who's not where they should be spiritually or some misunderstanding that needs to be sorted out, I'm going to pray, but I'd like you just to stand up quietly and I'll pray for family issues. Let me pray. Our Father, we realise that there's nothing more disturbing within our hearts and minds than a family issue that's causing heartache. And we know that you are a God, our Father, and we know that there's nothing that upsets you more than an upset in your family. And so we thank you that you are the God who heals, that you are the God who restores. You are the God who trusts in us, and we trust in you. So, Father, our heart this morning is that if we've done anything to cause the upset, that we would be gracious and big enough to ask for forgiveness. If we've not been the cause of the trouble, give us insight and wisdom to know what to do. And, Father, give to us the grace and the courage and the patience to deal with family upsets and sadness in ways that are appropriate. And for those of us who have children who are not where they should be spiritually, and our heart aches for them, we bring them before you, Father, and pray that you would restore relationships, particularly relationships where our kids need to be restored with you. So, Father, help us, give to us the abilities and attributes that we need. And, Father, for those maybe who we have wronged or who have wronged us or who are out of relationship with you, Father, by your Spirit, speak to them that they might be restored with you. For we pray these things, our God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. Now we've got Malachi, and Malachi was when we had Melinda here, and we were reminded that God said, "I have loved you," says the Lord. Love. It's all through the Bible, isn't it? And it's become, in a way, a bit trite, and we've become, oh, ho-hum. But how it showed itself with Malachi was a contemptible attitude towards worship and offerings. And they weren't bringing to God what they should bring in other sections of the Bible. When sacrifices of animals were required, people were bringing animals with three legs because, you know, the animal with only three legs was no use in reproduction. And so they would bring the blind animal or the animal that was deformed in some way. And God says, "I don't want this stuff. Bring the best." So friends, what is our attitude in worship? And you've heard me jump up and down many times saying that worship is 24/7. When you are shopping, you are worshiping God. When you are cleaning the house, you are worshiping God. When you are ironing, you are cleaning, you are worshipping God. When we're at work, we're worshipping God. Whatever we are doing, wherever we are, 24/7, we are worshipping God. So let's not think that it's just here in this time, because this can be a big pretense. as those people who brought the sheep that was deformed. God, we're bringing it to you. I don't want it, he said. I don't want it. And there's a little chorus that was written some years ago in the days of Scripture in Song, which said, I hate all your offerings and glad songs when you're not living like you should. I don't want your offerings. I don't want your singing. It makes me sick, God says. So friends, we just need to check, don't we, sometimes? When we're worshipping God, what are we really thinking? What are we really doing? How are we working this through? Hosea. I think the saddest thing about Hosea is that the people said, we have no king. Now, we know the situation with the adulterous wife. We know the situation with the buyback and all of that. But they said, we have no king. Here are the people of God saying, we haven't got a king. Hang on a minute. Who is Jehovah? Who is the living God? So, friends, we need to check, don't we, that we reaffirm we do have a king. And what did God want? He didn't want sacrifice. He wanted mercy to be shown to people and to each other. Dear old Amos, we saw, we had the plumb line, we had the fruit. And what was he basically saying? Hey, you people, you don't measure up. So again, this is not a condemnation. This is just a check. As we've gone through with these prophets, the prophets got a message from God and spoke to us. What did they actually say? More importantly, what did we actually hear? That's what's important. And then, what do we translate into life? That's important. So Amos, seek good and not evil. How important is that? And then the last one that we've got is Haggai. Friends, have another read of this lovely little book. Have a read through, because 10 times in this book, the word or the equivalent of the Lord Almighty is with you. It's wonderful. The Lord Almighty, this is our God, the Lord Almighty. He is our God. And the people were despondent. They'd had it. And yet what does God say to them? I am going to fill this house. So maybe today you're feeling a bit despondent, a bit out of sorts with God. Well, just have a look at Haggai and remind yourself that he is the Lord our God. And not only that, but his glory wants to fill not only this place or this building, but us, because is this not where the Spirit of God lives? And his glory wants to fill us in that sense. So friends, I'm not sure what you've learnt from our little minor prophets. They're minor because their books are small compared with, say, Jeremiah or Isaiah. They're small books, but they contain incredibly big messages. Big messages. So please take that little leaflet home and go through it and check and see if there's an issue that touches you, maybe review it. And then on the back page, of course, there are some questions that we use in groups, but it doesn't have to be used in a group. If you're just a person by yourself, have a read of those and think about them, because might be something there that touches your life as it touches my life. The prophets pointed to Jesus. And this morning, as I've said, Ted has read to us about who this Jesus is. And that is the Jesus we adore. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, We are well aware that some of those people in Old Testament times laughed at the prophets. They took them lightly. They pretended that the message wasn't for them. It was for the enemies of God, little realizing that they too might be enemies of God because of their behaviour and their attitude. Father, thank you that we are friends of the living God. And may our relationship, may our behaviour, may our attitudes and our thoughts reflect our love for you and for those around us. Father, these prophets have not spoken into thin air. They have spoken into our hearts and into our minds and into our lives. And we want those messages to be powerful, to take root, and to transform us, that we might be people who, in some of the horrible circumstances of life, trust you and love you. Help us, we pray, through Jesus.